because I do have something I want to share with you tonight. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That he's not going to live there except you believe. He doesn't live in unbelief. Do we understand that? He does not live in unbelief. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Wow. That ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. How many of you want all of God? I want all of God. Well, you're not going to get it by your limited ability to understand. It's going to come by faith. In Romans 5 and 5 through 10, it says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That's what lives in us. How did we get this Holy Ghost? We got this Holy Ghost because he loved us so much that he died for us, and he sent back his Spirit to live in our hearts. So the Holy Ghost, it helps shed abroad the love. That when you shed something abroad, it's not just a one, I love you, but I don't love you, and I like this, but I love everything. I love everybody. I love, it's all good. You see? You find the love in everything. For when we were yet without strength, you were weak, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't say he died for the saints. Didn't say he died for the pure or the holy. He died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yes, you would probably die for your spouse or your children. You've considered them to be right. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth, which means delivered, his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ, that's love. Christ, that's crazy. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We're going to be saved from the judgments of God through him. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, sinners, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, we were put in harmony with God through he put his own son to death to bring his love to you. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not your life, his life. I want to talk to you about crazy love. Crazy love. Insane love. Nonsensical love. Oh, my. Can't understand kind of love. Why do you love me? When you ask your kids, why do you love me? Because. It's one of them just because love. It's one of you, I can't explain it kind of love. This old song we used to sing, I got it, but I can't explain it, but I got it. You remember that one, brother? Yeah. Lord, I come before you tonight. I am so thankful for your crazy love. That you extend, it doesn't make sense that you would love me and love this congregation. That while we were out and sinning against the things that you died for, and yet you still loved us. Difficult for us to understand, but help us tonight to comprehend it with the saints of God in Jesus' name. God bless you. Look at somebody as you're being seen and say, you're crazy. Oh, come on, come on, come on. Crazy love, crazy love. Love is perhaps one of the most difficult things to define. A lot of things you can define, but if I ask you what love is, we'd get 100 different definitions of what love is. Encyclopedias come up short of what love is. Man's definition cannot really define love. A couple of sermons ago, I talked about God, and it said God is love. the best definition I've got of love is look at God. See God. You know how you can go to the dictionary and it says, see? Yeah, just put see. With love, see God. Because everything you see about God is love, because God is love. Hallelujah. So when you look at God, you see love. Because He is love. Right? So if we look, you know, today when we get confused with love in our human ability, I look at you today and I've looked at people that said, I love you. Tomorrow they hate me. Well, my question is, did you really love me? Because God is love. Did you really love me? If you can hate me now, you must not have really loved me, because God doesn't hate me. He always loves me. He's always loved me, and He always will love me. That is love. And people say they're in love. They never say, I am love. No. No one ever says, I'm love. Well, I'm love too. Well, then we can get along because we are in love. But when you're in love, that means when you fall into love, that means you can also fall. See, we look at love as something you get into. But God is love. He's not in love. He is love. Big difference between the two. And I know this, that your love may fail, but God loves that charity never faileth. Tongues may cease. Other things are going to fail. Though I give my body to be burned, He said, that's not going to work either. But one thing, He said, never fail. There abide these three, faith, hope, and charity. But charity never faileth, because God is love. Oh, hallelujah. Most of the time when people, they start, quote unquote, falling in love, they go through the romantic stage of love and they get that confused. Romance is actually the language to create the fantasy of love. That's what romance, you look it up, it's language. It's language that's used to create the fantasy of love, but it's not love. It's not, you know, I think I got my cell phone here. Thank the Lord, I didn't know I had it in my front pocket, but it's like, let's go back to young love. Remember young love? Huh? Come on, you remember young love? Young love was when you, how are you? Baby, it's me. Yeah. You tired? I'm not tired. No. You love me too? And you listen to each other breathe, and you got to get up and work in the morning. Give that about a year, and you say, would you leave me alone? I got to get up and work in the morning. But that young love, that romantic love, hey baby, it's like the song. When we run out of money and there's no food, love will keep us alive. Yeah, yeah. But you give that about a year and you go, hey baby, I just want to tell you they're coming to pick up the car because I didn't pay the bills. But don't worry, look. Hello? Hello? Baby, you. What happened? Because what I want to tell you what happens is that what this fantasy stage of love, this romantic stage, is when you intoxicate each other with the sweetness of an elixir that will alter your ability to comprehend real love. Yeah, you have infected each other with the romance of the words, but without the fulfillment of the promise. Oh, y'all getting quiet now. Better go back to that baby stage. How many of you been married 31 years like me? And go, hey, baby, you still there? Huh? You love me still? Yeah. I don't care if I got work tomorrow. That romantic language of love brings on the passions of the flesh that inflates one's internal desires to be artificially satisfied, only to find out later that it was a swelling in your heart that dissipated. The romantic stage of love can be very deceiving. You say you love me, keep my commandments. You like the bread, I understand that. You liked when I said peace be still, but you're still not keeping my commandments. Eve was romanced by a snake in the garden. The romantic words of, you eat this, you'll be one. Oh, God's not, He's not telling you everything. And baby, if you just eat this, I'm telling you, you're going to be smart as God. You'll know good and evil. Well, she wanted to, who doesn't want to be wise? Who don't want knowledge? And he romanced her with words, but could not fulfill what she really desired. Only God is love. And the conversations of romance are no proof of love. The only real love that you'll ever see is the real love that Christ had for the church. And when you look at the illustration that Paul gave as a comparison, he said, let a man love his wife as Christ loved the church. He put them side by side. He said, let me give you this comparison. Let me show you men real love. A man that loved his wife and would give up his life for his wife. That's how a man ought to love his wife. That is love. That's what Christ did. The love of God cannot be comprehended by the intellects of human minds. It can only be comprehended, the book says, by the saints of God. That all the saints of God may comprehend what is the breadth, the depth, and the width of Almighty God. Intellectual minds cannot comprehend it. That Christ may dwell in our hearts, he said, by faith, being rooted and grounded in love. I'm not going anywhere. That's love. I said, I'm not going anywhere. When you get in the church and you put some roots down and let the winds blow, and it doesn't matter who leaves, pastor did this, pastor cheated, pastor did this, pastor robbed the church. I don't care what pastor does. I'm rooted and grounded in God. I'm not rooted and grounded in a pastor. I'm rooted and grounded in God. And when you are rooted and grounded in God, it's a testimony, I'm not leaving. Too many people are pot plants. And they're root bound. Oh, that's a great sermon there. I'm glad Brother Geardrose didn't hear it. He'll steal it. Too many people. You ever seen, you've seen these, it's like one guy told me, I got to go, y'all. I'm sorry, but I got to tell you this. It's like a guy told me, he said, I saw his picture. He had a peach tree behind him that was huge, loaded with peaches. And I've been trying to raise them peaches up at the lake. I can't get nothing going, you know. I've cut them all down. I get sick of them. And so I'm like Jesus. If it don't bear fruit, it's gone. And so I asked that man, I said, man, what kind of tree are you planting? He said, well, let me know, what kind are you planting? I said, well, I got mine at Lowe's. I said, it was that big when I started. He said, that's the problem. It's root bound. It's root bound. He said, they carry, that thing may be 5 years old, sitting in a pot, and the roots are doing this. And then when you plant it, it still wants to do that. And it never gets out. He said, the one I planted was this tall. He said, that tree you see there is 18 months. I said, you've got to be kidding. He said, I promise you it's 18 months. I got it when it was this big, and the roots went into the ground to start with. And there's too many saints that are pot plants, and they're root bound. They never grow in Christ. The roots are going around and around. And you know what the problem is? You can easily move them over here, plant it here. If you don't like it, pick it up, plant it over there. They never set down roots and grow. Oh, Lord, I got to get back to crazy love here. That we may as saints comprehend all the breadth, the depth, and the height of Almighty God. This love that Christ had for us is you cannot comprehend it unless you are part of it. He said all the saints of God got to comprehend it. It is a love that passeth knowledge. But he said, I want you to be filled with my crazy love. What kind of love is this senseless, impractical love that beyond human reasoning? People give each other rings and save money. And when they don't have any money, and they save money to give you a ring to put on your finger and say, I love you. Christ saved no money. He lost his life. And he handed you a cross and said, I love you. I love you. No, we're going to save money and we're going to put a ring on your fingers to make you think, I love you, but that doesn't make love. I've seen this come off and go back in the box. You can go to the pawn shop and get all of them you want. But the cross cannot be replaced. To one, it was 30 pieces of silver. To another, it was the Son of God lost his life. Why? Because he had a crazy love. A crazy love. What man, peradventure, you'd find a righteous man, somebody would die. But while I was yet a sinner, that's crazy. Well, I wasn't even born. I hadn't even said, Dada, Mama, or I love you. He was dead already on the cross. Crazy love. Crazy love. God is not into the romantic language of love. He's into love. He is love. Amen. Amen. God was passionate. He showed himself alive by his own passion, by many infallible proofs. God is passionate about love. He didn't save any money to give you a cheap substitute for his love. He went to a cross and gave you the price of his blood and his life to give you what you need to satisfy the love that's in your soul. Crazy love. No one falls in love without reciprocation. It's a terrible thing to say, I love you, and the other one says, well, I don't love you. And we can't really even talk about the love of Christ or your love for Christ until we first talk about Christ's love for you. Because before you ever loved him, he already loved you. The Bible says you can't love him except because he first love you. So before we get up and testify and say, I love God because he helped pay my bills. I love God. He helped me move into a new home. I love God. I got a better job. I love God. And all these reasons you love God. We first got to talk about God loving you. When I was a sinner, God loved me. When I wasn't doing right, and I knew I wasn't doing right, that's a testimony, folks. God loved me. Our testimony is about us when the testimony ought to be about God and what God did for us. Oh, my God. We first got to talk about the testimonies of God. Amen. Love makes you seek. Love makes you desire. Oh, love makes you, it makes you crazy. It makes you do crazy things. There's no greater story than I'm going to give you tonight of two crazy loves. Let's go to the Song of Solomon, chapter 3 and verse 1. The Song of Solomon. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Let me just walk you through this. There comes a day that there's an awakening in your life and you realize that it ain't in a bedroom of life where you're going to find love. Amen. The bride it finds herself in trouble and she wakes up and says, it ain't here. It ain't here. And if I'm ever going to find love, I ain't going to find it here. I will arise now and go out about the city and in the streets, and in the broadways, and I will seek him whom my soul loveth. Not my flesh, but my soul loveth. I sought him. I went through the streets. I went through the highways. I went up Route 66 and down 383. I was looking for him. I could not find him. I found him not. And my soul was aching. And there's got to be a better way. I'm in love with something, but I don't know what it is. I've never desired this before, but my soul is waking up. And I said, it ain't here, and it ain't here, but it's somewhere's out there. Verse 3, the watchman that goeth about the city found me, and to whom I said, I saw ye him whom my soul loveth. Do you know, Mr. Watchman, where I can find the one that I'm looking for? She's searching for a real love, and she runs into the watchman on the wall, which is the pastor of the church or the gospel, the one that bears the gospel message. Anybody who has the gospel, it's the watchman or the preacher that's on the wall. She's looking for her love. She's looking, her soul is desiring something she's never had before. She's after God's crazy love and doesn't know where to find it. But the watchman tells her of this crazy love. It was but a little after he told me that I passed from them and I found him whom my soul loveth. Oh, and when I found him, I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me, much like Isaac did with Rebekah going back to Sarah. She said, I have found the one that my soul loves, and I'm not going to let him go. I'm going to go back to the house where my mother conceived me. I want to start my life over with real love. God's love will draw a man or a woman out of a bedchamber off of a barroom stool. God's love will speak to somebody. They think they're having a good time and partying with the rest of the boys, and out of the blue, something hits them. I'm not happy here. This ain't right. I know it's not right, but I don't know where to go. I don't know who to turn to. There's something drawing me. If I could just find this answer to my soul. Running.